Support for today's episode comes from omgyes.com. Do you want to learn hundreds of mental, physical, and communication techniques? Then check out OMGYes, an online resource with access to 300 plus honest and funny interview and demonstration videos. It has animation, infographics, all of the information you need based off of research. And you know what else it has? How-to videos. So if you want to know more about sex and how to do things like squirting and edging your orgasms, this is the resource for you. And it's for everyone, not just women. Men, you guys can sign up. Couples, it's a great tool to use together. And best of all, there is no monthly subscription fee, just a one-time fee, and you have access to almost 300 plus videos, okay? So visit the show notes or themoonybreakdown.com for more information on how to access OMG Yes. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Boonie, and you're listening to the Boonie Breakdown Podcast, your source for all things responsible and ratchet. All right. Welcome to this week's episode of the Boonie Breakdown Podcast. I'm excited when I have people that I know in real life as guests on the show. And so this week, our guest is Jax. She's a pleasure facilitator, a sacred sex coach, a sex doula, a somatic body worker, a Reiki specialist, a cuddle specialist, all right? And so if any of those things intrigued you, you want to stick around for this conversation. We have a good educational conversation. Maybe I can speak today, but we have a good conversation about facilitating pleasure. What does that mean? Consent, privacy, play parties. And yes, I asked her, you really get paid to cuddle? Like, people pay you to cuddle? And her answer, you'll find out when you listen to you listen to the interview a little bit later. So let's just hop right into my pick of the week. It's going to be quick, simple, easy, ChatGPT. I am all in now on these AI tools and how I can use things to make life easier and better. I barely start anything from scratch these days. I'm not writing any letter, any template, any email. Nothing is started from scratch. So if you have not been using or you're afraid of these AI tools, I encourage you to try them. You're already using AI when you're using predictive texting, your email and your text messages. So you might as well just go ahead and take the next step. I know for myself, speaking for me, myself personally, ain't that what people say? I'm probably going to start paying for ChatGPT now because I see the value enough from the free version and what it's done for me for the free version that now I just need to go ahead and make that switch. So, pick of the week. Make your life easier. Like, I use it all the time. And here's the thing. You just can't put it in there and then copy paste because sometimes it reads very robotic. It is very repetitive. But it's nice to have a starting point and for you to work smarter, not harder. So you can just go in there and tweak what you needed to say or personalize it a little bit more. But for me, I'm not a big writer. And so it is nice. I also use QuillBot as well. I know some people use Grammarly for their grammar stuff, but I'm all in. Whatever I can outsource and do it, make my life easier, all for it. So ChatGPT, I'm on board. I may be late to the game, but I'm here now.
Housekeeping. Housekeeping.
Come back later, please.
Housekeeping.
Not now.
So feedback from last week's episode, creating Black erotica with Black Touch, Brian of Black Touch. I was so thrilled because, you know, I don't have a lot of male guests on my podcast outside of Problematic Fave Brian and our Responsible Fave KG. I don't have a lot of men. And so I was excited that I was able to find someone who was so intentional about the work that he's doing to highlight the pleasure for Black women in a way that makes us feel seen, right? And not objectified. And so many comments around people just saying, you know, it was so good. They really enjoyed the conversation. A lot of people saying they were so happy to see that his sexy voice matched the person itself. And I'm really thrilled that a lot of you went and signed up for Black Touch. It really is really nice erotica. It's sexy. It turns you on. So if you have not listened to last week's episode, I encourage you to go back, check that one out right after this one, but you'll really, really enjoy it. And so I'm just so pleased. And this week's guest was the person who referred me and connected me with Brian. So look at things coming full circle. Also, I just want to highlight too, last week's episode was the first time I tried something new out. I did two different new things. For our folks who maybe are hearing impaired or other disabilities, the Booney Breakdown is more accessible now because I'm going to start making full transcripts of the episodes available. So that was something new that kicked off last week. And also people had been begging me and I really didn't understand it. And so shame on me as a podcaster, but I'm also an indie podcaster and there's no network or anyone behind me. It's just me doing this. But people had been begging me to put chapters in my audio and I just figured out how to do that after 6 years, 13 seasons. So last week's episode was the first episode that had chapters in it. And what chapters are, it marks time marks. So like in the Spotify app, you can scroll into the show notes and you can jump ahead. Like, oh, at the 10-minute, 12-second mark, they're talking about how whatever, right? You can just skip there. So glad to make things more accessible and easier for you all to use. So if it's anything else, you know, just shoot me a DM or shoot me an email over the booneybreakdown@gmail.com and I will try my best. Also, this week is the last week for our promo code on merch. The code is BACK, B-A-C-K, all cap letters. You can save 15% off all of your merch orders over $40. That code ends on October 31st, 2023. So by the time this drops, you have two more days to use that code. But go happy shopping. Some of you have been really taking advantage of it. And thank you for your financial support of the Booney Breakdown. Also, if this is your first time listening, welcome. Thank you so much. Hope you stick around. And you can follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook at the Booney Breakdown. We're over on Twitter just at Booney Breakdown. Follow us on all podcast apps, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those great places. So that is it for me. So let's get ready to break it down. Hey guys, it's your girl Booney, and I'm excited because I always love having people I know in real life on the podcast. So welcome, Jax, to the Booney Breakdown.
Hi, thank you.
How are you doing?
I am doing well. I'm rested now.
Me too. Everybody needs to do rest. I'm so over this like hustle, grind culture.
I quit it. I refuse.
I love that for you. I aspire to get where you are.
I'm resting from like a weekend full of pleasure, like friends, parties, and then like Janelle Monae. And like, I had to rest this week from pleasure things.
I like it. Resting from pleasure. I'm sure most people listening don't even think to do that. I've ever done that. But rest is your friend. I'm looking at your shirt and people on Patreon are looking at your shirt, Cuddle Kink Touch. We're going to get into all of that in this episode. So first, can you tell us how you found yourself in this space? You say you're a pleasure facilitator. And so what was your journey to getting to this point?
Yes. So I use pleasure facilitator as like an umbrella for all the things I do. I grew up like a sex nerd, like a lot of I think sex educators these days. We were watching Real Sex and Dr. Ruth and all those things. And like, I wanted to be a sex therapist, but instead I didn't. I went and had a 20-year career doing government things and other things. And but when I turned 30, I was really, really interested in expanding my own pleasure. And around that time also, like, influencers and educators had found Instagram. And I was like finding podcasts that were like educational and about sex, people who did go to school and become sex therapists, people who were sex coaches or sex workers in different ways. And just before the pandemic, I found my mentor, Amina.
Love Amina. She was on the podcast too.
My found your podcast. Now I knew you. Yeah, right before the pandemic, I met Amina at one of her events. I started following her. I was starting to do my own kink journey and kink, continued education, if you will. And then the pandemic happened and everything went online. And I spent a lot of time learning more online. And I ended up in a program learning about tantra and sexuality and the and spirit connection to sexuality. So, yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you wish you got into this sooner? Like, because...
Yeah. Definitely. Because there's just so much freedom. There's so much freedom to be had. So my work as a somatic sex coach, somatic sexologist, sacred sex coach, a professional cuddler, a consent educator, a sometimes kink educator, all really is born out of me finding freedoms in myself and wanting to share those things with other people. So I call myself a pleasure facilitator because I help people find those outlets of freedom for themselves for in whatever way that looks like for them.
I love that. And it's like, I'm not trained. I'm not a sexologist. I found all of you cool people and bring them to the masses. But I think that is the part that is exciting to me is watching so many Black women in particular, like kind of find this new level of freedom or even find what they like and what is pleasurable to them. And now I love having you as another resource because you just said you are a sex coach. And so I get so many DMs from women who've like, I've never used a vibrator. I'm 50 and I've never had an orgasm. And so if I referred one of those folks to you, like, what would be the first thing you would tell them, like, as you started your coaching practice with them?
Yeah. So I, with everyone I start with, okay, like let's, so in my work, because I have so many branches and avenues that I can offer assistance with, I start everything with like three conversations. All of my work is embodiment based, meaning we're going to connect our mind and our body together because living in the West, being brought up and socialized the way that we are, we're so disconnected from our bodies. So with everyone, I start with, hey, let's like do an intake. Let's like talk about what it is you're worried about or thinking about. And then I spend a whole session just talking about consent because if we're going to be working together, I need to understand that you understand that you have agency and choice in anything that we're doing together, which is the basis of anything you should be doing with anyone. And that I understand that you understand that I have choice in this dynamic as well. Consent is really consent and embodiment are like the baseline of everything that I do.
Yeah.
And then we might start with like doing some breath work or some embodiment exercises to like, start thinking, just start reconnecting that mind and body. And then from then it's like, where do you want to go? Do you want me to, are we going to go on a coaching journey together where we're setting some goals and, working through some things over time? Do you want a few classes one-on-one where you are, just learning some things about your body, whether it's pleasure mapping, whether it's kink exploration or, mirror work, which is like knocking down some barriers in a couple of sessions, or are we going to move into touch work? And that could be either platonic touch or just cuddling, where again, you're getting the opportunity to voice what you want and like really feeling what consent feels like for you. Some erotic touch, which is just waking up the body to what's possible while again, being in the driver's seat and having agency, over consent, over the things you want.
That's kind of cool. I think pleasure mapping, I had the pleasure of doing that exercise with somebody. And it was really cool to like dive deeper into areas that you don't think about as erotic or erogenous zones, right? And so That was a cool exercise for me. So I think more people should do that themselves.
We should do it. We should do it often because the body, we change.
Change, yes.
So much over time. Like what I liked when I was 30 is not what I like now. Or it's been added to or some things taken away. Or now I have more voice to be like, I didn't really like that, but I thought that's what it was. But now I know it's this type of touch. It's in this area. Do this all the time or never, ever do this.
I think the voice part is key, right? Because how many times I cringe thinking back to like my 20s where I was suffering through horrific sex, jackrabbit sex, like all types of terrible shit because I couldn't speak up.
Yes.
So
I really think I'm excited for, and that could be wrong, but I feel like these kids now like have voices much more. So maybe their 20s won't be like our 20s. And also there's lots of me's running around.
That's true.
That are coming straight out of school and getting right into that work where they're like learned, they have access to all this information. So hopefully the 20s of today are not the 20s of our 20s.
Well, listen, I was at a high school sports game yesterday and my friend was telling me about what her daughter was learning from her friend. So the generation behind us is way far more advanced than we are. I think they will not be faking shit out here. So, I was like, that's dope that at such an early age, those who were sexually active were already thinking like, no, I need to get mine, not centering it around some boy, those who were.
But then conversely, I did speak to some 20-year-olds, mid-20s, last week, and like just the questions that they have, like we don't have comprehensive sex education in this country. And so if you don't have that friend group or you didn't grow up in a liberal place, there's still a lot for people to learn that isn't a baseline. So I don't know. Yeah. Somewhere they know a lot, and then some of them know a lot, and some of them need a lot.
And then sometimes it's like, you know it, but then how do you apply it? Like, how is it in practice? It's great to know all these things, but like, how do you really use it when it comes down to the moment? And so, but yeah, I do think back to my 20s, like, I've been delivered, thank God. I've been delivered. I want to get to the fun part. Well, to me, what's fun and intriguing, right? Because I think as we watch, and I think I have a more of a lens on this too than most people because of the folks I interview. And so then I am in these communities and spaces where I'm like, damn, Black people really doing this shit, right? When you did not see the kink exploration happening as freely and as openly. And so I love that Black people are trying new things. But you have the DC Cuddle Club.
Yes.
And you're a cuddle specialist.
Yes.
A professional cuddler.
Yes.
And people don't believe that. Like, I know somebody listening to this now, like, what in the world? So do people pay you to cuddle?
Yes, they do. So one of the programs I did through the Atlanta Institute of Tantra was Cuddlesage. It's something I'm a facilitator in now. But yeah. Our people may not believe it, but if you go to the West Coast, you go to New York City, and probably those are the only two places outside of the country. There are many people throughout the country, but I think particularly on the West Coast in California, there are cuddle events, there are cuddle practitioners. In other countries, I think you see it a lot in Asia too, just companionship and what that looks like. What started me in cuddling was the first class I did in my Tantra education was touch, and it was like erotic touch. And I was like, I don't want to touch everybody. And I didn't have like a full coaching knowledge under me. So it was like, how do I start with something that feels more comfortable than like having them on the table, possibly nude, definitely in an arousal state? How can we like find a middle? But what I recognized on that road was platonic touch for platonic touch sake is an amazing offering in itself. We think about, particularly for Black people, which are the people that I focus on and care about. We don't have opportunities to connect to each other in non-sexual ways that that allows us to be vulnerable and intimate with each other without the possibility of, or the pressure of, or the need to have sex. I also think that people crave connection and sometimes end up in relationship or in sexual situations because they want connection, but they think that sex is what they need in order to get that. So I do two things. A, I will people book with me for one-on-one cuddle sessions, which I love, where we're going to have those same conversations about consent, where they are driving that situation, but they get that the opportunity to have that physical connection in a safe space where they're driving. And then I also host cuddle events that specifically center Black experience, the queer experience, because though those other spaces exist throughout the country and particularly concentrated in some parts of the country, it's very rare that those spaces look like us. And in turn, that means we be like, oh, that's white people shit. That's not our shit. It can be this container of like love and infused with who we are. Mm-hmm. We get as much out of it. And historically, as Black people, we don't have agency over our bodies. So it is an active, is an act of resistance to be like, I get choice in this, how I want to feel, how I want to experience other people, with people who have that same lived experience.
Yeah, that's dope. You see those articles, like I remember the first time I heard about professional cuddling, it was like, I get paid $100,000 to cuddle people, you know? And so
it's coming.
Yeah, put it out there in existence. But, you know, I do think for somebody like me who physical touch is one of my love languages, right? And it does not mean we have to be fucking or kissing, right? Like, it just drape your leg over me while we're watching a movie or something like that, right? Like, that counts. And so I think after the pandemic, where so many of us were like isolated, I think it was people who had gone months and months without having a hug, right? Mm-hmm. And so you get like skin hungry a little bit. And so you crave that touch. Yeah. So I think more people probably could benefit from a professional cuddler and they just don't know it. But your event, I was really sad that I couldn't make this one because I've been everywhere but home this year.
One day we're going to lure you down here. I be trying.
You send it. And every time I'm like, oh my goodness. I was like, I know she's not going to believe it. I'm really not here. But the event I wanted to go to really, really bad was the Saturday morning cartoons and cereal.
Yes. Because I like to infuse who we are into it. The cuddling event is secretly also consent education. It's not really a secret. If you come, we're going to talk about consent. We're going to like really work through like some embodiment exercises and some connection exercises to make you feel safe in the space, help you make some connections in this space and ensure that you understand the choice that you have in this space. But I like to infuse it with things that are fun or light or healing or, you know, or that will sound interesting and fun for people. So I came up with cartoons and Saturday morning cartoons and cuddles because like, I don't know, I just be thinking of shit. But
no, that was a good one because I was like, how dope is that? Like it was like this nostalgia of childhood, right? Because like, when's the last time you watched cartoons on a Saturday morning, first of all? So I feel like that would just take you back. Like, oh, and then cereal because your mama wasn't cooking nothing, so you had to go reach on top of the refrigerator and get the box of cereal.
Right. It was so fun. It was so fun. We watched Doug and Rugrats and
I love that.
Pride Family. And then like Steven Universe, because like the age range is why, but I love Steven Universe. But yeah, I also like that it was in the morning because it gives it like again, we're
moves it away from that like the sexual connotation people would think about, right?
Right. And people bought pajamas. Some people bought stuffies. I am a part of the kink community. And so people who are littles are a big thing. And like having spaces where people can express in that way safely as well. So people bought their stuffies and like can be in little space in a place that's safe to do that. Again,
so do you guys do vetting or is it just when you get there, you lay down the ground rules of consent and this is how we conduct ourselves here?
Yeah, so it really depends on the event. For the most part, it depends on the event and it will evolve as we grow and change too. Right now, it's mostly people in my community that I know. We are laying down very specific ground rules. I have signage and a part of coming is you're getting this education. So unless there is an incident specifically that I know about within someone being in community, I don't turn anyone away from that. But if we're having something that, which sometimes we do, that's something that's more intimate or something that is not strictly cuddle-based, then there's some other layers. But anybody can come. We have monthly, at least. I took a break in September because every month since January, we've had something. But the thing that I do the most is we do a happy hour. It's called Cuddle Can You Touch. Where we just have all three of those elements there so people can get a taste and like, are these people weird? Can I trust them? Or I want to see these things, but they sound terrifying. So let's pull it out of a dungeon. Let's pull it out of a cuddle only event. You can see that we're just people that are here connecting in ways that feel good for us.
Do you have the desire to do more types of kink-based events outside of cuddling, or do you do them already and I just don't know? But
oh yeah, I do them.
Okay.
So I am one of the hosts of Black and Kinky in DC. It's a monthly POC kink event at the Dungeon in DC, which is the Crucible. Mm-hmm. And there, it's kind of the same thing. I act like the welcome fairy. I give people orientation, walks around the space, making sure that they have a good understanding of what consent means in that space, and have a ground, like, so you're not walking into a dungeon and like it's a free-for-all, like, so you have a little bit of understanding of what's going on. I'm really, really passionate about people's entrance into these spaces. I often host cuddle corners or I'm asked to facilitate at kink events or sex positive events, which can be some kink events are also sex positive, but like it's an array. And then when we host Cuddle Kink Touch, all three things are happening. So we always have a cuddle corner. We always, it's something that I do with the Naked Trumpeter, Eli. We host it together. So there's always a cuddle corner. And then we bring our own kink tools for people to try. So if you're new, it's a great space to be in to like, I heard about these things. I want to try and see these things. We bring a St. Andrew's cross. We bring a spanking bench. We have like a portable.
That sounds fun. So here, I think that's a good thing to say because I wish I had that at my first experience at one because it was kind of overwhelming to the point that I'm not ready to go back. Right. So I do think that would have been helpful for me if I did have the welcome wagon to say this and that and that. And I think people get so intimidated by some of these play spaces or play parties and kink parties because you think you have to go and participate and you don't. Like, there are rules. So some people are into voyeurism and that could be your thing. I just want to watch, or I'm just going to fuck my person. Other people can watch us. So, right. Like, so you don't have to be scared about these things, but I think that is a nice touch to have so that people can ease into the space.
The basis of any and all things is choice. But if people don't, the base of anything that is consensual is choice. We're agreeing with other people. What is it that I want out of this? What is it that you want, what I want out of this? Is there an intersection? Or mm-hmm. is there not? So in all of those spaces, we talk about choice. We honor people's yeses and nos. And we, something I, particularly I think in dungeon spaces, because of the way people see, oh, this person does this. I want this person to do this to me. Like one of the main things when I'm taking new people around, I'm like, hey, look at, spend some time observing, even and B, know that no one here owes you anything. A lot of things are possible. I feel like I heard somebody else say this. A lot of things are possible, but nothing is guaranteed.
I'm tracking. No, I like that approach and that attitude, but I think more people would probably enjoy some of these spaces, right? It just, I don't know. I think maybe it's my Sagittarius nature. It's also the discovery of something new.
People.
Yeah, that could of y'all. That could just be my nature. I don't know, but
you gotta try it. You have to try it. I want you to.
I promise you, I will get. You know, I'm like, this month might be my best shot because I feel like this is the only month of the whole year I'm not traveling. So I will do my best.
Okay.
To me, I have to. I swear.
There's a couple. Guys,
it's no lie. Every time she DMs me, it's like, I'm like, sorry.
Also, this month, everything is like spooky and fun, right? So like, everything is like Halloween based or like everything. So there's my events that I host, but then there's also, like I said, things that I get hired for, and, or just friends that I support. So like, but everything's gonna have a spooky theme, which is fun.
Okay. I may or may not have told this story before, but I think this was a long, long time ago before any podcast, before anything. It was a sex club in Baltimore, and me and my friend were like, oh my God, we gotta go. Like, but we were too scared. Like, we were definitely in our 20s. We were like, we're scared to go in. But it was like the Halloween party night. And so we sat in the parking lot and watched everyone go in their costumes. So some people, I felt like it was packed that night because you could go in costume. And if you did a good enough costume, nobody would know who you were. And so we saw this one couple. They were dressed up as the Smurfs. And one was Smurfette. And they were completely covered in blue paint.
I love that.
I said, way to commit, right? So that was like my very first. We were too scared to go in, but we watched from the parking lot. So yeah, Halloween is a good time.
I think you brought up a good point. I want people to know this too, that like consent also extends to like outing people, like something that I know is super important to me when I walk people around a dungeon, when they're in spaces, in a dungeon, most dungeons, there's no cameras. And something that I say, like, it's because we want people, the space to have anonymity. So yeah. People, I'm like, whatever name you are using tonight. So when you come to the door, they're checking your name up against rosters and things and membership. That's a different piece. But like the way you move in the space, you are allowed anonymity. And a part of that consent contract or agreement is that we're not here to out people. We're here to allow them to express freedom. So if you come to my event, which there might be cameras there, but I'm very specific about like getting consent about photos, even at the happy hour, even at the cuddle space, like you get to have the amount of openness and outness that feels good for you. And that is another choice. That is another piece of consent.
I'm glad you brought that up because it is, right? And I remember one of my friends was like, well, if I'm in there and they're in there, then how you going to tell somebody you saw me because you were there too?
I have so totally run into a coworker at the dungeon. It was, but yeah, which was, it was funny because they were like, have you been here before? And like, as they were... As they were saying that, somebody who works at the Crucible was walking
like,
by.
Hey.
Yes, I know everybody who works here.
That would definitely top the moment that I ran into somebody from church at the strip club, right? Like, yeah, that was kind of funny too. And I don't go to church anymore, so that was a long time ago. But
we live in the center of all the politics and things. Like And so I know it's hard for people to come out. Like, I get it. And a part of the reason why I got involved specifically in King Spaces here is because, like, I want it to feel safe for you to, no matter who you are. Like, I don't really want to see Kamala in the club. That'd be a little interesting. But, like, anybody else, I feel like at any other level, we'll take care of you.
That would be a scandal. I'm sure someone would some picture out. Yeah, no, I do think it's something because I feel like this area just seems a little light. And maybe it is because of who lives here and what happens here. When you compare it to other places, I see a lot more events and things happening.
DC, so for Black Kingsters, DC is for Black pleasure seekers, I would say.
I like that, Black pleasure seekers.
There's also, I mean, I think it should be named that, like, the sex club, the play party, the kink party, or the dungeon are all different spaces with some overlap at the cuddle party, right? They're all pleasure spaces and that's where I kind of come up.
I like that rebrand because pleasure, who doesn't want pleasure?
Yeah.
But that's all less scary than kink.
Yeah. But in DC, I mean, if you're in these FetLife streets, you can find the things and you can find your community here in a way that it's difficult, maybe more difficult if you live at other places, even on the East Coast. New York City, obviously, there's a lot going on. Atlanta, there's a lot going on, but it's there's a lot going on. So you have to, like, figure out what thing is which. I think it's DC has a thriving community, and Baltimore. I feel like Baltimore area. There you can find your people. You can find safe havens for safe pleasure zones.
Like, I just feel like we've come so far. Cause, like, think of the days of, like, people were on, like, Craigslist, like, soliciting on Craigslist and stuff. So
I gotta say, like, when you are 10 years ago to 15 years ago, when you were curious about things, those are the places that you looked. And I think, you know, I've been on a journey of, like, how public facing am I or not? Yeah. And what I will say, the more you can show up as yourself while still taking your precautions for your anonymity, the more you can show up in these spaces that are made for that are made for community, where people are looking out for each other, the safer you are. Because otherwise, the more secrecy, privacy is one thing, but the more secrecy you place on it for yourself, you might give up some felt safety there, right?
Yeah. I never thought about that in terms of privacy versus safety, right? I think that's a good point. That made my light bulb go off.
Private person. I'm not a secret person. No, you can't.
Same.
Ooh, I got you. Like,
same. I'm the same way. I like my level of privacy, but I'm not a secret. I'm the same way. So I never thought about that space in terms of privacy versus secrecy. Got my wheels going. I'm writing that one down. So before we wrap up, we're going to do the breakdown. So it's word association. Okay. I'm going to say one word and you just say the first thing that comes to mind. It could be a sound. It could be a phrase. It could be whatever.
Okay. Right.
First one, Black women.
Everything.
Community.
Connection.
Orgasms. Bodies.
Beautiful. Yummy.
Kinks.
Yes.
Cuddles.
Oh, yummy. Warm.
And last one, skin.
I want.
Check. You know, I did not mean to ask this because I know we talked about it in a non-sexual way, but at your cuddle parties, before we close out, I'm going to wrap back to it. At your cuddle parties, like, what happens, or is there a space, or is this at your Black and kinky parties can more happen at? Like, what if, you know, you're cuddling and you do feel a little something happening? How do you guys handle that? Is at your cuddle party, is there no space for that?
Like, baby, when, or like you want to take it somewhere else. So it's too,
like you, yeah, like you, like, I'm not going to obviously be inappropriate, but I'm feeling some things.
Yeah. So bodies are going to body. We don't name bodies, right? And how a person were to react is that both people's right, but we don't shame bodies on its face, right? If you have I'm gonna speak about people with penises because that's typically where there's a reaction that is seen.
That's visible, right?
Right. So we're not gonna be like, oh my god, how dare you get hard. No. Like, adjust yourself and make yourself comfortable. You can speak to it and give voice to it if you want, but I think one of the important lessons here in consent and in this space is, like, just arousal does not always need a response, right? So, or it does not always have an answer. So yes, you got aroused. That's a natural bodily function. You can adjust yourself, communicate that with the person, and then y'all can readjust so y'all can continue to cuddle. Just because you got aroused, male, female, whatever kind of body, doesn't mean that, like, someone else is the answer to this situation. You got aroused.
I like that. Yeah, I just hit me, like, let me close that loop. I know somebody's going to ask and be like, Booney, why didn't you have that? So it just hit me.
We're not banning people because they had a sexy moment. Now, that's at a cuddle event. If you're at a kink event and you are cuddling and... or you're doing any number of things and you get aroused and it is part of what you negotiated ahead of time, or after you close that scene, it's what you negotiate after, depending on what space we're in, y'all can make that happen if that's what y'all agree to together.
Got it. There you go. So go to the Black and Kinky, and we always, you know, consent is king and key there. So there we go. There's your answer. So don't say, Booney, you didn't ask. All right, Jax, if you can tell everyone where they can follow you on social media, where they can find your events, just plug anything you want to plug.
Absolutely. So in October, we'll be back with Cuddle Kink Touch Happy Hour. If you are in the DC area, we would love to have you. The best place to find out about events that are coming up are by following me on Instagram at Touched by Jax. That's Touched Past Tense by Jax, and DC Cuddle Club. I would love, because, you know, sex workers and people who talk about sex get pushed off of Instagram all the time. If you're really interested and you want to keep up, I invite you to go to touchedbyjax.com, join my email list. That's the best way to get updates even before social media. And if social media bans me because I'm too sexy at some point, you'll be able to find me.
Make some haters, y'all.
Yeah. And that's also nice if you are looking for individual sessions, or if you want me to come to where you are and host a space for you.
Love it. So yeah, no, Instagram be some haters. I was on a violation train for a little while myself. I feel like I'm shadow banned, but it is what it is.
You follow me. I don't do much. They're like, and yeah, so it's I ridiculous. Watch automatically as my friends get removed and come back, or, you know,
it's
have to build audiences all over. And this is people's livelihood, and the vast majority of us are educating in some way.
Yes.
And filling a gap that should have been taught or learned in our upbringing. So it's ridiculous. I could talk about that forever and I won't.
Well, Jax, thank you so much. All right, everybody, be sure to follow and support. And thanks for talking with me.
Of course. Thank you.
All right, Ratcheteer gang, I want to thank our guest, Jax, for being a great guest this week. Be sure to follow her. Be sure to support her events. And maybe you want to have a deeper conversation about pleasure, so you can reach out. Her information is in the show notes and on theboonybreakdown.com. Again, be sure to support this week's sponsor, omgyes.com. Please don't just go to the website. If you click on the link in the show notes or on theboonybreakdown.com, that's how we get paid. All right. So at least I'm honest here, folks. Okay. But again, you can just reach that in your show notes right now, or on theboonybreakdown.com. All right. And if you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to listen and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, YouTube, or any apps that you listen to your favorites on. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review over on Spotify and in Apple Podcasts. You might just hear your review on a future episode. Follow us on all social media. Share our reels with those you love, those you don't love, those you fucking hate. I don't make them or pay for them for nothing, okay? Have a dope ass week. Stay healthy, safe, and sane. Thank you for listening. And remember, the ratchet in me always honors the ratchet in you. Homaste. Until next time.